to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the third and final hour of the final broadcast of 2011. You're in the political cesspool with James Edwards here on AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out nationwide to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. And, of course, our worldwide audience of fans can pick us up at the internet simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Folks, as you know, if you miss any part of the live show any week at all, you can catch us after the fact in the broadcast archives there also at the official website. What a fun time we're going to have this hour. It is certainly my honor to welcome back an old friend. In a way, the political cesspool, as I mentioned, is coming full circle tonight, this very special New Year's Eve broadcast. Sonny Landham was the first guest to ever be interviewed on our show, back before our show was even our show. Sonny was here back in the fall of 2004. He came down to Memphis from his home in Kentucky. He served as our keynote speaker at the official kickoff party for this radio program, which drew a standing room only crowd at a local barbecue restaurant. And the rest, as they say, is history. He's a man who appeared in no shortage of blockbuster films in the 1980s. My good friend and yours, Sonny Landham. Sonny, it's been far too long since we've had you on the show. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks. Great to be back, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Happy New Year to you too, Sonny. And, you know, speaking of yours and mine, of course, our families are well acquainted, and we're going to be talking about some of the stories we've made together a little later on in the hour. Sonny is our guest for the entire 60 minutes. In fact, you know, when Sonny first came down here, I mentioned it was back in 2004, and we did the big kickoff party. We actually taped a couple of shows with Sonny. That was 7 years ago now, or near, a little over 7 years ago, actually. And
you know,
Sonny,
I remember most about that barbecue.
What was that?
That everybody was standing up talking about they had gotten their concealed carry permit, and I jumped up and I said, "Don't be proud of them because that's gun legislation."
Well, you certainly, well, you knew you were in the right crowd at least, even if now we take some of our restrictions and are proud to even be restricted in that way. But, you know, it's hard to keep Sonny from talking about politics because he is a political.
No. I was reminiscing.
Well, we're going to do a lot about that tonight, Sonny. But what I was saying, and you actually, that's actually a pretty good comment because it accentuates my point. When you were down here that time in 04, we taped a couple of shows. We did one show where we talked about your movies, and we did another show where we talked politics. And wouldn't you know it, we're doing that all over again 7 years and change later. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Sonny's with us to talk movies. Next week, 1 hour isn't enough for Sonny. We got to bring him back. He's that good of a guest. We're going to talk contemporary politics, and I've had a couple of conversations with Sonny on the phone this week. You're in for a treat next week, ladies and gentlemen. This is just to whet your appetite. With the Republican primaries coming up, Sonny is loaded, and we're going to be talking with him about that next week. But first, Sonny, let's talk movies. You break in. The great Walter Hill gets you into to some films. You have your big breakthrough role in the blockbuster 48 Hours.
And we worked, I did, three or four pictures with Walter Hill. And the first one was, Warriors. And then
right.
I did Southern Comfort with him. And he always wanted to do this picture, Revenge. And you remember Kevin Costner did it, and I think Anthony Quinn played the part. And that was the picture that we kept packing to go to Mexico on. And the head of the studio was set to go at Paramount. And this guy was over at Warner Brothers. And he went home and caught his wife in bed with the pool man. And then he comes to over to Paramount. And at the time, you know, this was back when a big budget was, you know, $10-15 million, and there was a $10 million budget, $2 million had already been spent in pre-production on Revenge, and he came in and cut the legs right out of it because it hit too close to home for him. And it was later done by Costner. And so when they cut that out, that's how we wound up doing 48 Hours for Christmas in 82.
Hey, 48 Hours certainly wasn't a consolation in the least. You're talking about one of the biggest movies of the decade.
Well, you know, last night they had Tootsie on
Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman. And that came out at Christmas of 82. And that's what kept 48 Hours from being the number one film that year.
Well, there you go. So that's exactly my point. And Sonny, you co-starred.
They were one and we were two. They were one and we were two.
But your number, I've seen both movies. I like 48 Hours more. But even though Dustin does have a lot of talent, but you co-starred in that with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy. And you've said Eddie Murphy was really good to you. That was your first big, big, big movie where you had a big role. You liked working with Eddie Murphy.
Well, Eddie Murphy was just a good guy. I mean, he was all the way. He comes from a good Christian family back in New Jersey. And, you know, he was only 21 years old. And he was just a sweet young man. I mean, a good young man. And very talented. And he did, you know, and he progressed to do some really, good films from that. And, you know, it was his part of the thing that made it go so much. It was his first film, and he was a big star on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And his audience went to see the film. And people, you know, there's only 20 million, approximately back then. There were 20 million moviegoers. And when I say 20 million moviegoers, I mean people that go regular. There are people that go to see love stories. There are people that go to see comedies. There are people that go to see, action adventure, you know, karate films. They had a niche audience. Any karate film would make $25 million worldwide.
Right.
And But there's some people, there's a portion, you know, that go to see everything. They just, you know, just love movies because, you know, whatever it is. And we sold about approximately 45 million tickets in the United States. And to do that, people were going back to see 48 Hours. Five and six, seven, eight times. I mean, they just going back and kept going to see it.
And then the sequels came, and 48 Hours, still a very big movie. Sonny, we got to take a quick break. We got to go to a commercial. We're going to come back, wrap up 48 Hours. Let's talk about Predator. One of the biggest sci-fi movies of all time. Stay tuned, everybody. Movie star Sonny Landham, our guest, and he'll be back.
The establishment called him extreme and unelectable. They said he was the wrong man for the job. It's why a young Texan named Ron Paul was one of only four congressmen to endorse Ronald Reagan's campaign for president, believing in Reagan's message of smaller government and lower taxes. After Reagan, Senator Al Gore ran for president, pledging to raise taxes and increase spending, pushing his liberal values. And Al Gore found a cheerleader in Texas named Rick Perry. Rick Perry helped lead Al Gore's campaign to undo the Reagan Revolution, fighting to elect Al Gore President of the United States. Now, America must decide who to trust, Al Gore's Texas cheerleader or the one who stood with Reagan. Restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. My great pleasure to bring Brett back to the show tonight for our New Year's
Happy
Eve special.
Everybody.
My old friend, Sonny Landham, who was here when the show first got its start back in the fall of 04. He's here with us tonight for the first of a two-part interview that will continue next week, but it's live. And ladies and gentlemen, later on in the show tonight, Sonny and I are going to go down memory lane.
Come here, Mo.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the memories we've made together, and then we're going to take your questions. So if you have a question for Sonny Landham, send it in now. Email it in. Some questions are already beginning to flow in. Media, M-E-D-I-A, media at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll try to read as many as we can on the air before the end of the hour. Now, talking with Sonny, obviously he got a start with the great Hollywood legendary director Walter Hill, giving him some limited roles in a number of films before being cast in his first starring role in the high voltage hit 48 Hours, the second biggest movie of 1982, and a movie that gave Eddie Murphy his start. So, Sonny, after your big role in 48 Hours, the scripts begin to flow in, and obviously we got to get into Predator. Easily one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. You were in the original installment. From there, it spawned any number of sequels. What was it like being on the set of Predator with people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura, Carl Weathers, Bill Duke, on and on and on? A lot of testosterone down there.
Oh, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just like any other movie. You form a family. And for so many weeks, 12, 16 weeks, and you're there together. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, everybody's on a new job, and we're all together, and we're going through the same, stuff. And it was a great bunch of guys. I don't, it must have been something in the water. That three people out of the cast ran for governor in three different states.
That's right. Arnold Schwarzenegger winning in California, Jesse Ventura winning in Minnesota, and you falling just short in Kentucky, Sonny.
Yeah, I mean, that was, CNN said there must have been something in the water.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something that I didn't want to fail to mention while we're talking about Predator, as Sonny just said. Three of those actors, three of the stars of Predator, ran for governor. Sonny was one of them. And speaking of something being in the water, y'all filmed, you know, everyone surely has seen Predator. Y'all actually didn't film that in a sound studio or a sound stage, a set.
That was filmed in Mexico. And, you know, the water purification system, you know, went out down there and nobody told us. And, you know, there are two things. One, you drink bottled water and you brush your teeth with it. But you're bathing in the water, which makes you, you know, which gets into your pores and into your skin. Also, you go into the bar and they give me a scotch and soda, give me a Jack Daniels and water, whatever. Where do you think the water's coming from? Where do you think the ice is coming from? They don't make the ice with bottled water. And everyone on the set, crew, cast, producers, everybody came down with commonly known as the Tijuana two-step. And it was a mess. I mean, the stink on that set from people going in their pants, and I mean uncontrollably, and throwing up on the set. I mean, that was a stinky set there for a while.
Hey, just one of many stories behind the scenes that Sonny can and will share with you. But speaking of there being something in the water, there must have been a couple of things in the water down there to cause that. And then the novelty of so many people running for governor out of a relatively small cast. Did you know when you were making Predator?
That's the only time in the history of film that you had three people running for governor out of a film?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that's incredible.
That's a history-making thing about that film.
A lot of history was made with Predator. Did you know, Sonny, that when you were on the set there, and you've been in a lot of movies, and we're going to go through just a laundry list of some of the A-listers that you've co-starred with, but out of all the movies you've been in, did you know that there was something special about Predator before it was even released, while you were making it? Did you know that was going to be one that was going to be a little bit bigger?
No. No, look, you never know. I've done films that I thought, gosh, this is an Academy Award winner, and it was a total flop. And you do films like this, and you know, you didn't think it's just another sci-fi movie, and you know, it's a comic book. You do it for real, and look what happened. And it wasn't even a hit when it came out because of the political background of the movie at the studio. And they really didn't push the movie. It only made $53 million, $55 million at the box office. And that was like 13.5 million tickets compared to 48 Hours, which sold 45 million tickets
at
the box office. And it didn't become a hit, you know, a cult hit, till it was on television.
It certainly spawned from there, because now, I mean, they're still making Predator movies. They're still making Predator movies today.
By the way, I want to do a commercial.
All right.
And this is the way you can pay me for being on tonight.
Okay.
Bill Maher on HBO. Every Friday night, he came out about T-boying and the Buffalo Bills beating and using some very nasty language and what God did to Tebow in the Bronx.
We covered it on the website. I'm well aware.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what I want everybody to do the same thing that I did. Drop HBO from your television package. If you have cable or you have DirecTV, like I do, call in and drop HBO.
Hey, there you got it, ladies and gentlemen. From Sonny Landham himself. You might even miss some of his movies, but you know what? That's a good idea. We don't have HBO here at the house, so I don't have to take the step. We never did get it. But, you know, and that's another thing I want to talk to you about next week. I tell you, when we talk during the week, I want to come up with a list of things when we do politics next week. That's one of the things I want to cover. But I'm glad you worked that in, because that is
Hollywood. And, yeah. And people shouldn't be giving their money. You know, I applaud comedians. I give you right to free speech. I happen to be a conservative, born-again Christian. But I give you the right to be an atheist, an agnostic, Presbyterian, whatever you want to be or don't want to be. But to be blatantly attacked by a man who, you know, he's constantly hit at religion. But to go out and to hit a person like Tebow, who I think is a great hero, and
Amen.
Model for the children of this day and time. And for a person like Bill Maher to try to take him down and defame him and defame religion at the same time, he's not owned for commercials. So the only way that we can show our displeasure is to drop HBO. And when HBO feels the pinch in the pocket, they'll understand. Get rid of Bill Maher.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've gotten your marching orders.
He can go peddle his trash mouth somewhere else.
Sonny Landham, our friend and yours, we got to take a break, Sonny. But listen, that's food for thought for you to chew on during this next word from our commercial sponsors. And we'll be back with Sonny right after this. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift. Freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Yeah.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this. All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm really glad that Sonny worked into the discussion tonight, his thoughts on Bill Maher, because that is just a sampling of the kind of hard-nosed, in-your-face, manly conservatism that we need more of and that we will get more of next week on the cesspool when Sonny returns for an hour to talk exclusively about politics. What a Sonny's take on the world. We're going to leave no stone unturned next week. He's here tonight talking about movies for the last show of 2011, the first show of 2012. Sonny Landham back to talk politics. You're not going to want to miss it. Sonny, I got another quick question or two about Predator, and then we're going to go to some listener questions. You worked with another, you know, we were talking about Walter Hill and the respect and admiration you had for him as a Hollywood heavyweight. The director of Predator, no slouch. He was also the director of Die Hard and many other big, big movies. What was it like working with John McTiernan?
John was a good guy. John was a good guy. A funny story about John, though, is I did Firewalker. And, you know, this wasn't our greatest day. I mean... It did not turn out. This was a film I thought would really be a big hit.
It's interesting, Sonny, not to interrupt you, but someone just called into the studio. They didn't want to go on air, but they wanted me to ask you what you remember about Firewalker. So this is pretty interesting that you'd bring it up.
Well, J. Lee Thompson was the greatest man I ever met. I mean, J. Lee could hypnotize you. And I met him at the Sherry Netherlands Hotel in New York about doing The Ambassador with Rock Hudson, Robert Mitchum, and all in Israel. And that did not work out. So when I got to do Firewalker with Jay Lee, I was very excited. And Jay Lee told me that, you know, there were parts that would never be cut. And so I worked out where the patch moved from eye to eye in the film. And in doing that, at one point, it showed that I could see, you know, where I just raised the patch. It was to look at Melanie Anderson. Well, this whole film, they either chopped the setup line or they chopped the punchline, and it was a disaster. And so John's wife and saw me, and she said, you know, we went to see your film, and we went to Westwood and saw you in Firewalker. Well, thank you. Yeah, see, John said, Sonny, I saw Firewalker. I stayed for about 15 minutes. He said, I got up and walked out. He said, it was the worst film I ever saw. I said, well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. <You know>? John was a great guy. He was a very talented director. And, you know, John was, he looked at a film through trigonometry. And he lost a few people, but he was a good director, didn't he? And I really like John Tierman. He was a great guy.
John McTiernan, you can check him out, folks.
He got into some problems out there. Hollywood is not like it used to be. It's just totally changed. They're turning around trying to remake every television series. Clint Eastwood did, what's his name, J. Edgar Hoover.
Right.
Now, how many people know who J. Edgar Hoover is or was?
I guess me and you, for sure.
I mean, he died in 1977, I believe. He died in 1977. I mean, do you realize that the majority of your population, or a great number of your population, has been born since 1977.
Right.
They don't know who J. Edgar was. They don't care who J. Edgar was. And you can't put into 90 minutes or 2 hours of film who the man was, what he did, and how he did it. You see what I mean?
I see where you're going.
So, I mean, why make the film? You know, would you go make a film about Grover Cleveland? Or, you know, who cares about Grover Cleveland Day? You know, who cares about Woodrow Wilson? I mean, people don't care about people they don't know. I mean, you talk about who was Jim Hendrix? You don't even hear Elvis much anymore. You know, kids don't know about Elvis. They don't know about the Beatles. So, I mean, these, and you're making television series that, old television series. People don't even know what you're talking about. Alan Baldwin did The Shadow.
Right.
And I was a great fan of The Shadow when I was a little boy. I used to hear him on the radio. And, I love that show. So when the film The Shadow came out, man, I was standing in line out there with everybody else to see it. And I was in line with Richard Brooks's brother and his wife. And we're talking about it. And we go in and we watch The Shadow. I enjoyed the movie. The movie was a flop because everybody that was in the line were in crutches, canes, wheelchairs, and iron lungs, like me. The old people. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You know, I mean, your father would know who the Shadow was. But, you know, older people don't usually go to movies. So you're making movies about things the kids are not into.
Well, I'll tell you this, Sonny. I used to enjoy movies a lot more than I do now. I can remember as late as the late 90s, you know, not missing a lot of films. But as you mentioned now, I mean, it's just become sequel crazy, and there's not a lot of originality out there anymore. And what there is, you're talking about, as you mentioned, a lot of topics that are post-dated. But I want to get this question in before we move on to
all
the
right.
Listener questions, just to name drop, just to give people scope here. If you look up Sonny Landham's filmography, you will know that he has worked with some of the biggest. Eddie Murphy, as we mentioned, Nick Nolte, Craig T. Nelson, Chuck Norris, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Sizemore, Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone. They've all starred in movies with Sonny. Any favorites, Sonny?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone. We were friends, and Sly. I mean, Sly is not a better guy than Arnold or Bill Duke or anybody. You know, all these people I liked. And Carl Weathers, I loved.
Right.
Sylvester Stallone was a total filmmaker. And Lee Marvin. I loved working with Lee Marvin. You know, in The Dirty Dozen. And, I noticed on your website I was very upset. You said that I was in the Great Train Robbery.
I did?
Yeah, I was not in the Great Train Robbery.
I don't know if I put that up, Sonny. I don't know what website you're at.
Now, I was not in the Great Train Robbery. I read for it, but I wasn't in it.
Are you sure you're on my website?
You know what the Great Train Robbery was, don't you?
I think you're pulling my leg on something.
Well, the Great Train Robbery was the first silent movie.
Okay, I knew that had to be. I know you too well. I knew that had to be something.
And I wasn't in it, but I read for it.
You know, okay,
solid movie.
Hey, you know, I got to ask you this. One more thing about you. You got me on that one. I was, you know, actually, Sonny, I'm going to share a story from behind the scenes. You know,
okay. It
is possible to get Sonny upset at you, and you don't want to have Sonny upset at you. So I started to sweat there when Sonny said he had a problem, because one time we brought Sonny down. Do you remember this night, Sonny? We brought you down, and we did a show, And I think you were down to do an autograph signing at a video rental place or whatever the case.
Yeah, I didn't do the show the night before. I was out there with you.
Yeah, no. You were in studio with us down in Memphis. And I said, you know, let's go to the casino. He said, okay, good. Yeah, how far is the casino? I said, oh, it's about 15, 20 minutes from here. We drove for about an hour and a half, and you were hot when we got out.
Oh, I was hungry.
Well, you had driven all the way down from Kentucky to do the show.
Plane.
Yeah.
And I was hungry. But we did. But you know what? We went down to that, I forget the casino.
Sonny, hold up right there. It was the Gold Strike Casino in Tunica, Mississippi. I'm going to tell the story when we come back, and then we're going to go to listener questions, because God knows we got another commercial break. So stay tuned, my friend. We'll be right back. We got to get out of this place.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, I can't believe it, folks. You know, an hour of commercial radio goes by so fast, and we only have about 10 minutes left with Sonny. I want to quickly finish this story up. I mean, Sonny Landham and I have made, I've been fortunate enough to make a few memories with Sonny over the years. I told you about him coming down to Memphis. He was the keynote speaker for the kickoff of the show. We had a packed house. arrived fashionably late to it because Sonny says that's the way a star does. You don't show up on time to your event. You come in a little late. Sonny taught me that. We put Sonny up at the Peabody. I remember walking around on the streets of downtown Memphis with Sonny and people coming up to him, recognizing him. Oh, you were Billy in Predator. And it was just, you know, for me, before I had my first shot of celebrity, I mean, it was just incredible experience. I remember we did one radio interview with Sonny a few years after that. Sonny, you were in the bed. You were in the hospital. You had had a heart attack or something. Something was wrong with your heart. Yeah. You were in the hospital. A nurse came in to give you medicine, and you shoot her off saying you were doing a radio show. And I said, Sonny, you know, we can do this later. You said, the show must go on. So that's another big memory of working with Sonny over the years.
You know, that time that we spent down at the, you know, at the casino that night?
Yeah, I remember it.
We did go and get good steaks in the Maitre D got me a comp suite, and after you left, you know, I won $2,000 in the casino.
See, aren't you happy that I drove you an hour and a half out of the way?
Oh, yes, I was then.
Let me tell him that story, because let me set the table. Sonny drove down from Kentucky to Memphis because we had an event that weekend, but he also was going to do a show. So he'd already driven, you know, 10, 12 hours down to Memphis. We did the show. Then we ended up driving about an hour and a half down to the casino, and he was a little hot at me when we got out of the car, but we went in, and he said, I'm not going back to Memphis, you know, we're just going to get a room here tonight. And the first thing I did was I go up and say, you know, we need a room. I need a room for Sonny Lana. And they said that they didn't, I said, I needed a room. And they said that they didn't have a room. And I said, Sonny, man, I'm sorry, they don't have any rooms here. And you said, yes, they do. I said, no, I just asked. They don't have any. They're all booked up. He goes, watch this. Sonny walks up to the counter. Not only does he get a free room, they supposedly didn't have any rooms even to buy. He gets a free room. It looked like some sort of a Prince of Persia suite they put him up in, because Sonny's in movies. He can do these kind of things. So they put him in this palatial suite for free, comp his room. And then the maitre d' is coming in and serving us this flawless steak. I tell you, we've had a few stories, and I'm thankful to be able to retell them, Sonny.
Oh, we had a great time though. That was a great evening.
That was a good casino. We ended up it got off to a little rocky start, but we ended up having a great night there. Of course, my wife and I joined you at your wedding in Kentucky in 06 to your beautiful wife. And I tell you, it's a lot of fun memories, and still many more to be had if I can have my way.
Amen. Now, what about any more questions coming in?
All right, here we go. We got a lot of questions, and here's what we got, Sonny. I'm going to break it down how we're going to quarterback this thing. We've got about 8 minutes left in the show, and we've got more questions than we're going to be able to get to. So I'm going to read them as quick as we can. You answer them as quickly as we can, and we'll see how many we can get to. First one, I guess we've kind of covered this already, but Robert in Phoenix wants me to ask you, what is your favorite movie? He doesn't specify if it's one you've been in or one you just like, but we'll cover them both. Favorite movie you've been in, favorite movie other than
that? Favorite movie is High Noon.
High Noon?
The one I had the most fun on was, what did we do in Louisiana? The
Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort, thank you.
Southern Comfort, and a good movie. Folks, listen, you can't go to Blockbuster anymore. They've all gone out of business, I guess, but you can get them online, Netflix. Rent some Sonny Landon movies. Start your new year off the right way. It's been in a lot of good ones. Elizabeth, Sonny, in South Carolina asks, have you ever considered running for office again? I'd support you if you did. That comes in from Elizabeth in South Carolina. Another bid in your future, Sonny?
Thank you, Elizabeth. We've thought about it. I mean, life is not over yet. I leave my options open.
That is a Politico answer. We're going to be talking politics with Sonny. Sonny, let me ask you this. I'm going to take the floor here for a second. Ever considered running for something less than governor, maybe a state house seat there in Kentucky?
No, because you have to whip these people in the line. I'm not going to stand there and play, you know, politics and the guys that, the Tea Party people that went to Washington, and they're swamped, by these professional politicians, be them Republicans
right,
or Democrats. All right, but that's for next week. Next question.
Okay, next question comes from Rick right here in Memphis. Hey, this has to be a question written by a Memphian for sure. With it being New Year's Eve, I want to know what your favorite drink is, says Rick. So if you were having a drink tonight, Sonny, at midnight, what's it going to be?
Peach tea.
Peach tea. There you go. There you have it, Rick. Okay, this one gets back to Predator and John McTiernan. This comes from Kevin in New York City, Sonny. I don't think I've even asked you this question before, but I've heard about it. Kevin writes, in the special features DVD of Predator, I remember the director saying that the movie studio had to hire a bodyguard to protect the other cast members from you. Was that a gimmick to raise interest in the film, or is there a story behind that?
That was John McTiernan trying to be funny. That had to do with the girl that I was going with, and her grandmother was almost kidnapped in Mexico City. And so we had bodyguards there for her coming down.
There you go. I had a feeling that was going to be the case and that was the case, but that has gotten some play on the internet. Okay, now this is something that I didn't know about. Rebecca in Florence, Alabama writes that she hears that you still go out to autograph signings. She had a friend in the UK meet you at a collector's confab over there. Do you know anything about that, Sonny?
Yeah, I have done. I did. You know, went out to a lot of conventions, autograph conventions. But with the economic times, they've gotten so bad. I was supposed to do one in Washington and Indiana this year, and you get a minimum guarantee for doing these things,
right?
And I was supposed to do one in California, but it couldn't meet the schedule, and the man doing the other two couldn't come up with the money for the minimum guarantee.
But you're still actively out there on the circuit on some of these collectors, tours, if you will, Sonny. So you made it all the way out to the UK for that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been to Europe several times, doing these things and all. But economic times, the money is just not there, for these producers and or promoters. And, they don't want to pay the price. And, it takes a certain amount of money to make it worthwhile to get out of bed to go.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Certainly. And I understand that all too well. Okay, next question. Do you still stay in touch with any of your former co-stars, Carl in Indiana?
Oh, yeah, I do from time to time. I stay in touch with some of them. And, it's not a regular thing. We all have our lives.
Right. Folks, before I forget, I want to make mention of the fact that Sonny Landham has a website, and we encourage you to visit it, sonnylandham.com. Pretty simple, easy enough to remember, sonnylandham.com. Sonny, I'm an honorable guy, and this is sort of a shameless question to let go through, but it did legitimately come in, so I'm not going to reject it.
All right,
but Steve in Florida asks, what is James Edwards like in person?
He's a great guy.
You don't have to lie.
The brains of the family is his wife, Dana. And she and his daughter, Isabel, share the beauty in the family. And James is a very lucky man to have both of them.
Sonny, I couldn't agree with you more. And certainly that's reciprocated with...
And he has a great mother and father.
And you know what? They're waiting for me at the house, and I told Dad you were going to be on the show tonight, and he was very excited, and I know he's tuned in there at home this evening. And when I get home, we're going to be talking about you as we count down to midnight. Sonny, we got just a minute or two left. We have several more questions. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to them, though. I want
let's just tell Dana, Isabel, your mother and father, I said Happy New Year, and may this be the best year of your lives.
Well, Sonny, of course, we reciprocate.
God bless you and all your family, James.
Sonny, you too, buddy. After all these years, I'm looking forward to next week already. We got about 30 seconds left. Give folks a teaser of what they may be able to expect next week when our conversation together shifts from movies to politics.
I'm going to tell them where that ghetto broad Michelle, my belle, carries a straight razor.
Does Michelle Obama carry a straight razor? All those answers and more forthcoming on the first show of the new year.
We will talk about the real bigots that the Southern Poverty Law Center should get on to, and the race haters, and that's Obama, and his Attorney General Holder.
Folks, you're going to have to tune in next week to hear that conversation in its entirety, another live interview with Sonny Lanham. Thanks for all the questions tonight, folks. Sonny, God bless you. We love you, brother. Talk to you next week.
God bless you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm your host, James Edwards. We'll see you next Saturday in 2012. Take care, everybody. God bless.